Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. I have two special guests to talk about disaster capitalism in New Orleans based upon their own personal experience. I have a few stories to share with you in the meanwhile, however, the most stunning in significance of which by far, Dutch member of European Parliament questions Pfizer about COVID vaccine, where the answer destroyed the foundation for the COVID passport, believe it or not. A member of the EU Parliament from the Netherlands, the Dutch PM Robert Roos, questioned a legal leading representative from Pfizer during an EU hearing. Roos asked Pfizer if the mRNA vaccine was ever tested to see if it blocked transmission of the virus. Ms. J. Small responded to the question by saying, no, the vaccine was never to question, never tested to see if it blocked transmission. Stunning. The question is important because it cuts to the heart of the issues surrounding the vaccine passport and various rules and regulations implemented against unvaccinated people. Pfizer admits the vaccine was never tested to block transmission, ergo, the premise of the vaccine passport was built on a lie. Both vaccinated and unvaccinated should carry and shield the virus regardless of vaccinated status. Actually, the whole thing is such a massive fraud. People need to pay for this somewhere. The politicians need to be held account for the ridiculous dual-class citizen they manufactured under the guise of non-existent science. It was all a lie. Here we have him speaking. Listen to this. I have the following short question to which I would like an answer. I'll speak in English so there are no misunderstandings.
Jim, we can't hear the clip.
Okay. Thank you, Mitchell, for sharing. She's saying no, absolutely. They cannot. They did not test for whether or not the vax would defeat the transmission of the virus. So whether you have the virus or not, if you had COVID, you could equally well transmit it. And I believe the world was massively played on this basis. Meanwhile, and this is a second, extremely important story. Biden's executive order, a direct threat to the dollar. On March 9, 2022, President Biden quietly signed Executive Order 14067. Buried inside this order is a sinister provision that could give the government unprecedented control over your money and freedom. In fact, this provision sets the stage for legal government surveillance of all U.S. citizens, total control over your bank accounts and purchases, and the ability to silence all dissenting voices for good. It's no wonder Fox recently called this a deeply troubling development, since most Americans have never even heard of Executive Order 14067. Thus, today, Jim Rickards, a world-renowned economist, has just sounded the alarm in a troubling new about this troubling new development. It's actually in a book he's published, and I say this therefore has a multiple purpose of presenting the information, but also promoting his book about it. We're in for a major upheaval of the U.S. dollar, he reports. In fact, I predict the third great dollar earthquake has already started. The first was Roosevelt confiscating private gold in 1934. The second was Nixon abandoning the gold standard in 1971. Now, Biden's plan could pave the way for retiring the U.S. dollar and replacing it with this disturbing new alternative, because this order precludes non-programmable currency. This is not a far-off pipe dream. Executive Order 14067 already gives Biden unprecedented power over the future of the dollar, and most Americans are going to be completely caught off guard by it. I do have a report about it, but if it can't be heard, Mitchell, tell me immediately whether you can hear this or not. Can you hear it?
No, Jim.
Okay. Apologies for that. Edward Hendry has added a comment that this story is a sponsored commercial selling Jim Rickards' Strategic Intelligence newsletter rather than an objective news story from Breitbart. The information about the CBDC is generally correct, but the timetable is wrong. The CBDC will not go into effect on December 13th. The executive order requires certain reports on or before that date, where the CBDC will be rolled out later, for which I appreciate Edward's correction, but it seems to me what we're getting here is enormously important. Meanwhile, we have another rather stunning story I'm astonished by. Lindsey Graham told the Capitol Police to shoot January 6th rioters in the head. Believe it or not, January 6th rioters in the head. I'm surprised, Mitchell, because I was doing the sharing here. I'm really surprised that no audio. Really surprised. Okay. Here's the third story of significance. Lindsey Graham told Capitol Police to shoot January 6th rioters in the head. Lindsey Graham urged police officers to use their guns during the January 6th riot at the Capitol, suggesting they should have shot protesters in the head. The revelation comes, according to excerpts from a new book by former D.C. police officer Michael Fanone. "You guys should have shot them all in the head," the officer turned CNN contributor recalled the South Carolina senator saying. "We give you guys guns, and you should have used them," Graham continued. "I don't understand why that didn't happen." To be fair, nearly everything reported by former officer Fanone needs to be taken with a grain of salt. His hiring by CNN is an indicator. His words are being used as a means to go after Republicans and Trump supporters. Fanone was dragged into a mob and beaten during the chaos at the Capitol on January 6th. He suffered a heart attack during the altercation, and later publicly denounced Republicans and others who downplayed the attack. He is one of four police officers whose testimony before the House Select Committee on the Capitol riot in July of 2021 moved Representative Adam Kissinger, who in my opinion is a complete sham, phony, and a fraud, to tears. Beckham became visibly emotional himself during testimony, saying, "What makes this struggle harder and more painful is seeing lawmakers downplaying or outright denying what happened on January 6th. Indifference shown to my colleagues is disgraceful," he said, raising his voice and pounding the table. That said, this marks the second report on the Capitol riot that indicates Lindsey Graham wanted officers to shoot Trump supporters who had breached the complex. A Washington Post investigative report detailing the events of that day back in November recalled a similar scenario. Graham, according to the report, was livid that senators had been forced to flee their chambers due to protesters who had entered the Capitol. "What are you doing? Take back the Senate. You've got guns. Use them," he told police. "We gave you guns for a reason. Use them." Graham's office later confirmed the quotes. Here's a tweet from This Now. "Yesterday, they could have blown the building up. They could have killed us all. Lindsey Graham joined bipartisan anger over Capitol vulnerabilities. I say anyone who's had doubts about Lindsey Graham should be resolved. There's no doubt left about it, in my opinion. The man is disgusting, and that he should be in the United States Senate is repulsive." He also celebrated Biden as the best person to lead the country. The latest recounting of events surrounding Lindsey Graham and the Capitol riot are yet another indication that the senator was easily led astray following the incident, either by the media narrative or his Democrat colleagues. Audio suffered this past spring showing Graham was so distraught following January 6th that he actually felt Joe Biden was the best person to lead the country going forward. "Biden will be better, right?" asked a reporter in the audio clip. "Totally. He'll be maybe the best person to have, right?" Graham replied. "I mean, how mad can you get at Joe Biden?" Perhaps Graham should be asked that question again with a backdrop of higher gas prices, higher grocery bills, lighter paychecks, dead soldiers in Afghanistan, and a completely wide open border resulting in a humanitarian crisis for both illegal immigrants and the American people. Benone's book also claims House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will at times Facebook FaceTime with him at 3 a.m., which is a stuff of nightmares. Bridget Gabriel tweets, "Not a great look for Lindsey Graham. Here's his photograph. Senator Lindsey Graham will actually come out of this thing stronger. Moments like this reset. People will calm down. People will say, I don't want to be associated with that." He adds that Representatives Eric Swalwell and Kissinger have helped him behind the scene, along with Representative Liz Cheney and her father, Dick Cheney, who reportedly took him out to dinner. Boy, I'm telling you, if you wanted to know the line on Lindsey Graham, there it is in a sentence or two. Eric Swalwell and Kissinger have helped him behind the scene, along with Liz Cheney and her father, who took him out to dinner. Gag me with a spoon. Meanwhile, and I think this is from the Epoch Times, a very clear depiction of what's going on with the January 6th committee. Harassing targets engaging in the fishing expedition, according to lawyers involved. As the House January 6th committee heads toward its final public hearing, lawyers are criticizing the panel for engaging in overreach and harassing targets through onerous document production requests. The comments were made as the committee is currently locked in a battle with former President Donald Trump's election attorney, John Eastman, on the production of 576 emails subpoenaed by the panel. the committee in an October 3rd filing before a federal district court argued that Eastman was improperly holding back documents under the guise of attorney-client privilege and attorney work product privilege. Eastman, 62, helped prepare legal filings for Trump that contested the results of the 2020 presidential election in several states. The committee has contended, in part, that the filings were an attempt to overthrow the government. Eastman's attorneys, in response, accused the committee of attempting to undermine the attorney-client relationship. His lawyers further said the court has already ruled on the matter and found, in the vast majority of cases, for Eastman's claim that attorney-client privilege prevented Eastman from disclosing the documents to the committee. Judge Carter found Dr. Eastman's privilege log perfectly adequate to dismiss a majority of the January 6 committee's attempts to subvert attorney-client privilege, said Eastman attorneys from Burnham and Grokov in a statement. As proof of his alleged attempts to improperly shield documents from investigators, the January 6 committee released an email between Trump's election lawyers in which they joked about Trump. One of the email's authors, former Trump lawyer Bruce Marks, accused the committee of releasing the exchange in an attempt to embarrass Trump's lawyers. At the time of the emails on December 30th and 31st, 2020, Professor Eastman, Ken Cheesbrough, and I were representing President Trump in litigating a U.S. Supreme Court petition filed on December 23rd. These emails were part of a privileged exchange. Regardless of whether specific tongue-in-cheek emails were protected by the attorney-client privilege, they were clearly protected by First Amendment rights of political association and free speech. One lawyer who has defended a half a dozen people who've been charged as a result of actions at the Capitol on January 6 applauded Eastman and his attorneys for pushing back. The committee's endless speculation does not trump the power of attorney-client privilege, attorney Joseph McBride told the Epoch Times in an email. McBride has a reputation for fiercely criticizing the government for its detention and prosecution of people regarding the events of January 6. Poor people need to stand up to these communist psychopaths. I, for one, am glad that John Eastman is doing it, he added. Another lawyer who is suing the government over the seizure of phone records cautions that the dispute between Eastman and the committee was only a small part of the panel's excesses. I think Eastman's lawyers were basically trying to show the court that that was a claim of attorney-client privilege that applied to that email, but the larger issue with the January 6th committee is that they are overreaching. Paul Kemenar, an attorney with the National Legal and Policy Center, a conservative watchdog group, told the Epoch Times. The NLPC is suing the Select Committee over phone records of a January 6 protest organizer that the panel demanded in their probe. They're not respecting that attorney-client privilege and work product privilege, and even so, some of this is First Amendment-protected communications that we have, he said. To Kemenar, the committee has exceeded its authority. I think at this point it's just a matter of a fishing expedition and harassment, as I see it, and there's no more need for any other email from other people, said about the continued investigation of the panel, adding there are no new facts being discovered by the committee. McBride said the continuation is just being used to hurt so-called mega Republicans without really investigating what happened. The committee is, without question, suppressing exculpatory evidence. It's also severely editing videos to proffer a narrative to the public that caricatures all mega Republicans in the light of domestic extremism, noting that the same members of Congress gave Hillary Clinton a pass when she destroyed 33,000 emails she improperly kept on a private server when she was Secretary of State. According to Kemenar, the dispute over privilege claims is obscuring an obvious purpose of the January 6 committee hearings, which is to make it toxic to oppose proposed legislative reforms that would make it harder to decertify presidential results. That's the purpose of the committee. Representative Liz Cheney has a bill that would reform the Electoral Count Act, which is also co-sponsored by Representative Zoe Lofgren, said Kaminar. Kaminar believes the committee previously postponed hearings because of Hurricane Ian, not out of sympathy for the victims, but because the networks were busy covering the hurricane and wouldn't give the hearings top billing. They want to make sure they're in prime time and get maximum TV coverage. So it's clear that it's a matter of politics there, and also the committee is trying to be assistant prosecutor to the Justice Department for the criminal investigation into January 6th. Meanwhile, McBride continued that the committee's rush to judgment of the selective release of information won't stand up in a real court of law. The January 6th committee is no different from a council of 17th century Puritans looking to burn witches in Salem, McBride said. The committee is not looking for the truth. Instead, it seeks to identify, prosecute, and burn at the stake anyone who dares to question the Biden regime's action. I'm going to see here whether I cannot enable you to hear what now I want to play. Tulsi Gabbard has done something quite splendid, in my opinion, by resigning from the Democrat Party. She's pulled out. Tell me if you can hear this now, my friend.
No audio, Jim.
Oh, damn. Okay. Tulsi just doing a fantastic job here. I'm very, very troubled why I cannot share these with everyone. The Babylon Bee had a very nice satirical piece to follow. With Tulsi Gabbard out of Democratic Party, title of hottest Democrat goes back to Nancy Pelosi. I mean, listen to this. Washington, D.C. 2020 Democrat presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard caused ripples in American politics Monday with the announcement that she is leaving the Democratic Party. With this news, the title of hottest Democrat goes back to Nancy Pelosi. Before Gabbard entered the political fray in 2002, Nancy Pelosi reigned as the best-looking Democrat for decades, causing heads to turn on both sides of the aisle. With the introduction of Tulsi Gabbard, who is thought by many to be the most beautiful politician in history, Pelosi's longstanding title was stripped away. Nancy Pelosi was always a close second in hotness to Tulsi Gabbard, said Senate Majority Leader and sexist male Democrat by unanimous vote, Chuck Schumer. Some of us believe Pelosi to be even hotter, but we never had the grassroots votes to get her to the top of the podium. Not all agree that politicians should be judged and ranked by their looks alone. Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, for example, argued, "Some of us aren't blessed with jaw-dropping looks like Pelosi, but we make up for it with elephantine intelligence. That should count for something." How can you do better than that? Mitchell, I'm going to see what I can do here. I'm very upset that I am not connecting with you in the right way. Let me see if there's any chance of getting this back where you can hear everything, because I want to bring in my two guests and I want you to be able to hear it. So, you know, with only 1 minute to go, I just want to say that the situation in the world is about as mucked up as it could possibly be. It's very difficult to imagine how it could be worse. But then again, you know, the saying, cheer up, things could get worse. So I cheered up and things got worse. So we'll see what happens here. I'm hoping that I have both of my guests to talk about what's happened down in New Orleans, because it's a pretty serious situation. Paul inspired this interview, by the way, so let's hope it works. Stand by. We'll be right back after the break. And
like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Vince waiting for our friend to get back. Remember, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. I'm not hearing any audio, Jim. No audio. I don't know, Jim. Anyway, while we're trying to get Jim on the and get audio straightened out here, I hope y'all are having a great day. Welcome to the Raw Deal. Remember that we can change the world in this time of universal deceit. We just have to tell the truth. It's met with a lot of resistance. I see Jim, but I don't hear him talking. He's just trying to figure his own.
Mitchell, can you hear me now?
There, Jim, we've got you.
Sorry about that, my friend. Let me see if I can report on some other stories while I'm waiting for my guests to arrive. Sal Frutt, which is excellent, is explaining that Russia is beginning to fight for real. On October 10th, explosions thundered in almost all Ukrainian regions. They were confirmed by authorities in Kiev, later in other regions. The major cities of Ukraine were hit by the strikes. The escalation followed the explosion on the Crimean Bridge. The day before, President Putin had confirmed the attacks, which claimed the lives of three Russian citizens, was a terrorist attack aimed at destroying the critical civilian infrastructure of the Russian Federation, and its authors, performers, and customers are the special services of Ukraine. We do have a report, by the way, that the British appear to have been involved in this in sizing up the attack and how it should be carried out. So far, explosions have been reported in Kiev, Rono, Lvov, Ternopil, Ivano-Frankivsk, Kamenetsky, Zhytomyr, Kremenchug, a host of others, a dozen different locations. According to the Ukrainian side, the number of airstrikes was as follows: 60 in the Kiev region, 20 in the Kharkov region, 47 in the Nikolov region, 15 in the Lvov region, 27 in the Vinnytsia region, 15 in Odessa. The main targets: SBU headquarters in Kiev, CHP-5 in Kiev, CHP-6 in Kiev, Lviv TPP, Burslan TPP in Ivanko-Frankivsk regions, EU advisory mission in Kiev, Department of Law Enforcement agencies in Kiev, all of which appear to be perfectly legitimate military targets. 11 important infrastructure facilities were damaged in 8 regions of Ukraine and Kiev. Some areas were de-energized. Strategic infrastructure facilities were damaged in almost all regions. There is no electricity, water, or internet in several large cities. Eastern Ukraine was most affected by the attacks, as the regions were already using backup energy lines after the main lines were hit earlier. Western Ukraine has also suffered critical infrastructure damage, but continues to operate on backup lines from Poland. Thermal power plants and main enterprises of many cities are damaged. The Ukrainian Air Force air defense system is overloaded. There's no electricity in Lvov, Chernomyrsky, Sumy, Kharkov, a host of other cities. Ukrainian railways report damage to the contact network, which may cause delays of Western trains. The country's railway stations operate normally. According to the Russian Ministry of Defense, today a massive strike was carried out with high-precision long-range weapons on the objective of the military control, communication, and energy systems of Ukraine. The goal of the strike has been achieved. All designated facilities have been hit, the agency said. Russian President Putin: the Kiev regime has put itself on a par with international terrorist organizations. Leaving this unanswered is impossible. At the suggestion of the Ministry of Defense, a massive blow was inflicted on energy, military support, and communication facilities. In the capital of Ukraine, Russian strikes hit several districts of the city. Mayor Vitaly Klitschko confirmed several explosions in the district. Hang on a sec. I have my
audio, Jim.
That was my guess. Yeah. I was giving him instructions. There are going to be a couple callers who are going to compliment what he has to say. In the capital of Ukraine, Russian strikes hit several districts of the city. The mayor confirmed several explosions in the Shevchenko district and the city center. One of the rockets hit Vladimirskaya Street, which is the headquarters of the security service of Ukraine. The office of Vladimir Zelensky is located nearby. It's reported one of the strikes hit Heresky Street, where the government quarter is located. The reports are yet to be confirmed. The ex-executive of the Verkhovna Radna of Ukraine, Ilya Kiva, claimed that one of the strikes hit the base and headquarters of the Nazi regiment Azov in Kiev. Other targets are the Kalichko Bridge and 101 Tower Business Center. Another strike damaged a thermal power center in the Ukrainian capital. Damage also reported to the Kiev railway station. According to the head of the regional administration, strikes on energy infrastructure facilities were reported in at least three districts. Residents of the city were asked to go to shelters. The central streets are blocked by law enforcement officers. Residents were asked not to come to the capital unless they had urgent need. The metro has stopped and being used as a shelter. We have a fair number of photographs, not all of which are equally impressive, but there's no doubt a lot of damage has been inflicted. In case of continuation of attempts of terrorist attacks on the territory of Russia, the responses will be tough, President Putin said at a meeting with members of the Security Council. If attempts to carry out terrorist attacks on the territory continue, Russia's response will be tough and will correspond in scale to the level of threats posed to Russia. No one should have any doubts. Meanwhile, Lee Michael Jones has warned, if someone sets off a nuke, it'll be the U.S., not the Russians. E. Michael Jones issued a disturbing warning on this week's False Flag Weekly News, hosted by my colleague Kevin Barrett. Colonel Douglas McGregor was on some platform yesterday saying there's no evidence whatsoever that the Russians are planning to use nuclear weapons. They don't need to. They have overwhelming military superiority at the moment as they're building up for the fall offensive. So it seems to me what we're really talking about here is America saying of a nuclear bomb and attributing it to Russia. In case you didn't notice, they did this already with a pipeline. So why wouldn't they do it with a nuclear weapon? Meaning we, of course, attacked the pipeline and blamed it on Russia. Yes, about which, in my judgment, there is no room for doubt. Jones' warning comes amid signs that the U.S. leadership is actively considering nuclear war. Joe Biden recently announced the world's on the brink of a nuclear apocalypse, where his government seemed to be preparing for that eventuality. Meanwhile, Saudi state TV has savagely mocked Biden in a skit as a confused geezer who calls Kamala Harris the first lady. A state-run television station in Saudi Arabia has mercilessly mocked President Biden in a comedy skit, along with another character playing the vice president. the comedy sketch was something you might expect to see out of Saturday Night Live back in their heyday if Biden were a Republican. Much of the very brief segment shows an actor wearing something similar to Harris' outfit at the State of the Union, which bore a striking resemblance to a UPS uniform, guiding Biden around the stage and correcting him every time he misspoke. It began with the character playing Biden pointing to reporters and then meandering off stage as Harris quickly shuffles behind a steering back to the podium. Thank you very much. Today we got to talk about the crisis in Spain, a Biden character says, before the fake VP whispers in your ear. Yeah, we got to talk about the crisis in Africa, he said, before being corrected again. Tries once more. Yeah, Russia. And yet another jab at Biden during the Saudi comedy skit, the president refers to Kamala Harris as the first lady. Watch. On its surface, it's pretty funny. But even more so when you consider that it isn't exactly parody. Biden has actually done all of this before. Just last month, Biden was informing those at an event that Harris's husband, the second gentleman, Doug Emhoff, had tested positive for COVID. There's been a little change in arraignment of who's on the stage because the first lady's husband contracting COVID, Biden announced, seemingly forgetting the actual first lady is his wife, Jill. There's Reuters tweeting about the actual event. President Biden mistakenly referred to the first lady's husband contracting COVID before correcting himself to say it was Vice President Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, who had tested positive. Earlier this year, following a press conference, far-left CNN political analyst Van Jones, a former Obama staffer, raised alarm bells over Biden's performance, describing it as foggy and meandering. What stands out here is that had Saudi Arabia produced a comedy skit mocking former President Donald Trump in the same manner, the media would be playing it nonstop and declaring how Trump was embarrassing America on the world stage. Instead, you're only seeing this clip by coming to the Political Insider or other independent outlets. In fact, do you know which country's state-run media did mock President Trump? Russians. You know, the country he was being portrayed as being in bed with? Russian state television in 2019 described Trump as this clown and described his foreign policy as failures at every turn. It's clear that not only does Saudi state-run media view Biden as a true clown, but so does the government itself. Reports surfaced last month that leaders in Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates refused to take calls from the White House as Biden was pushing for more oil production during the Russian invasion of Ukraine. A tweet from the Wall Street Journal. Leaders of Saudi Arabia and the UAE declined requests to speak to President Biden during the Ukraine crisis, officials say. They both took calls from Putin. Pretty serious stuff. Let me see, Mitchell, if I can find my guest again. Very, very troubling. I'm going to call him back. Mitchell, would you like to fill in while I'm seeking to
get Jim? Sure. Hi, everybody. I hope you're doing well. Yes, the world is fraught with corruptness and fear today. The escalation of the strategy of tension is very strong today. In fact, you know, this scare the shit out of them with nuclear war seems to be a constant theme, particularly after the international illegal invasion of Ukraine by the United States of America. They certainly have run the gambit.
Mitchell, let me pick up here. Yes, my guest had his clock set wrong, so he'll be joining shortly. Meanwhile, this is pretty remarkable. Keystone Pipeline cancellation was a mistake, economists under Obama and Clinton admits, and slowing oil permits and being hostile toward natural gas were errors too. In other words, even a member who has been an economist under Obama, and this is Larry Summers, is admitting this is all effed up. Later, Larry Summers, who served as Treasury Secretary under former President Bill Clinton and was a director of the National Economic Council under former President Barack Obama, admitted during a Friday interview on Wall Street Week that canceling the Keystone Pipeline was a mistake and that slowing oil permits and being hostile as a country toward natural gas were errors as well. During the interview, Summers was asked about the OPEC move to slash oil production by 2 million barrels a day in order to control prices, a move that was a blow to President Joe Biden, who made a trip to Saudi Arabia over the summer to implore oil kingpins there to increase production in order to lower gas prices. Specifically, Summers was asked if the oil production downturn will have larger macroeconomic effects and possibly speed us into a global recession. There's nothing good in this, Summers replied. He added, we made a mistake by canceling the Keystone Pipeline. I say, no shit, Dick Tracy. We made a mistake by slowing down all kinds of permitting activity. We made a mistake by being hostile as a country to natural gas. And yet this was the foundation of the Biden administration, his first day in office. It's taking him 2 years to say it. He also observed we made a mistake in Congress a few weeks ago when we didn't pass the program sponsored by Democrat Senator Joe Manchin to expand permitting. We crucially need regulatory relief or we're not going to get renewables online fast, and we're not going to get the transmission lines that are necessary for renewables to become a large part of our energy fast, Summers added. So the real lesson of this is we need a different kind of energy strategy than the one that we've had. We need a strategy that's balanced rather than an imbalanced strategy of total hostility to fossil fuels. And God knows the kind of total strategy of favoring fossil fuels that we had, even egregious favoritism towards Saudi Arabia that we saw during the Trump administration. We need to find a balance. And I think we're making our way in that direction. Well, I don't think there's any chance in which we're making a way in that direction. Now, among the other forms of pandering that Biden is doing is he pardoned all federal offenses for simple marijuana possession, but it turns out there are no federal prisoners who are in prison for simple marijuana possession. So the question becomes, what kind of grandstanding stunt is this, where members of the Biden administration have admitted they're trying to appeal to younger voters and persons who have been incarcerated in the past to encourage them to vote Democrat. Meanwhile, Andy Borowitz, brilliant satirist in the New Yorker, writes, Biden releases marijuana offenders from prison to make room for Trump administration. Washington, the Borowitz report. President Biden announced that he was pardoning all people convicted under federal law of marijuana possession in order to make prison cells available for members of the Trump administration. Announcing the decision from the Oval Office, Biden said, at present, thousands of Americans are in prison for the possession of marijuana. Those thousands of prison cells are badly needed to accommodate the influx of Trump aides, associates, and family members. Biden said, vacating the existing prison cells would save the American taxpayer billions, since the only alternative was to construct approximately 40,000 new cells that the incoming Trump prisoners would require. That may sound funny, but that's all too close to the truth. Here we have, for example, the Department of Justice asking the Supreme Court to deny Trump's plea over the FBI search. The Biden admin on Tuesday urged the Supreme Court to steer clear of a legal fight over classified documents seized during an FBI search of former President Trump's Florida estate. The high court is weighing an emergency appeal from Trump, asking to overturn a lower court ruling and permit an independent arbiter or special master to review the roughly 100 documents with classified markings that were taken in the August 8th search of Mar-a-Lago. The DOJ said in a 32-page filing that Trump's claim has no merit, noting the case involves extraordinarily sensitive government records. A three-judge panel from the Atlantic-based U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit last month limited the special master's review to the much larger tranche of non-classified documents. The judges, including two Trump appointees, sided with the Justice Department, which had argued there's no legal basis for the special master to conduct his own review of the classified records. But Trump's lawyers said in their application that was essential for the special master to have access to the classified records to determine whether documents bearing classification markings are in fact classified, and regardless of classification, whether those records are personal records or presidential. I still am lacking my guest, Mitchell. Let me see if I can reach him again. Could you pick it up for me, please? Actually, Mitchell, are you there? Mitchell, yes, I'm sure one of my guests is there on the phone. Would you please connect? Who do we have?
Nathan Lawrenson.
Nathan?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Jim?
Go ahead. Lay it on us. Gary was supposed to be here. He's not here yet. I'm hoping he's going to show up, but we want to hear your reports about how FEMA operates to exploit disasters and to make it all come out in a way that's harmful to citizens. We have a second caller. I think is this Raphael? Who do we have here, the second caller?
Yeah, Nathan. This is Gary. We have Gary, Nathan, and Raphael should be calling in.
Gary, you were supposed to join by Zoom.
Yeah, my internet is not working. I've tried everything I can do. It's just not working.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for explaining. Well, Gary, take the lead, Gary. I'm so glad to have you here. We want to talk about what really happens when FEMA comes to town.
Yeah, that's why I had Raphael call in and Nathan. So I'm sorry about the delay and all that. But all right, so you really have to think a little bit about Agenda 21 when what happens. Now, for the callers that didn't hear last week's show, basically you have a disaster that comes in, and then there's a protocol, and there's all types of military that move in, and it's really a military operation after that. Now, they won't show you on television all the rifles and things like that. So all the grants come down, and all the strings have a basically sustainable agenda. So what I'd like to give a little mini talk on Agenda 21 real carefully. And once you understand this, then you can understand what they're doing. All right. So, of course, Agenda 21 came out in 1993, and it was designed to find out what was sustainable and what was not sustainable. All right. So come to find out, things like skiing, fishing, things like that are unsustainable. All right. Then also dams are unsustainable. So they're really making choices and changes to what you're going to be doing in the future. And families are some of the number one things that you can't have, like a single family dwelling. So after the place gets wiped out, the idea of having a single family home is really discouraged, and in many, many ways, it's just not even allowed, okay? And the whole goal for all this is to have...
Gary, stand by. We got a break. We'll be right back. Nathan and Raphael.
We'll be right back after this.
Okay.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Gary, go right ahead.
Yeah, we're continuing on with things that happened. Now, this Agenda 21 is basically trying to set up human-free zones where humans are just not allowed. It's been implemented by George Bush, Bill Clinton, Obama. He was really one of the big people in the whole thing. Now, they partner with these federal agencies and non-governmental agencies, all right? So like the EPA, the Forestry Service, HUD. HUD is like totally responsible for implementing a lot of these programs that come in, all right? Like Institute for Sustainable Communities, the Public Trust and Lands, things like that, all right? And then what we have are the three E's, all right, called social equality, economic prosperity, and ecological integrity, which all sounds good, you know, but what happens is but what I'd like to do, I'd like to come back to some of this, and I'd like to bring on Nathan because Nathan works on the tugboat and he has just a limited time, and I'd like for him to explain some of this stuff to
you. Go for it, Nathan.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate y'all having me on today. Yeah, Gary's right on the money. You know, right after, you know, these disasters and storms, you know, there is a military presence for sure with FEMA, because FEMA is a military operation, and it's all military funding, right? But the real dangers is what comes after that. And then after that, you know, all the money's coming down from the federal level. And they have all these non-governmental organizations and all these nonprofits and all these global think tanks that have influence over the local authorities to dole out the money, right? For example, in 2005, after Hurricane Katrina in Louisiana, which, you know, I watched this unfold because I'm from Louisiana, Governor Kathleen Blanco appointed none other than Walter Isaacson, the head of the Louisiana Recovery Authority. So Walter Isaacson, you know, he's an author by trade, but he was trained at Harvard, Harvard PhD, Bilderberg member, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, all the big, you know, entities that are in the global government framework, he's a part of it, right? He was also the CEO of CNN and others. But the main thing he was at that time was he was the CEO of the Aspen Institute. The Aspen Institute is a major United Nations non-governmental organization, right? So the United Nations will use these NGOs as like a layer, right? They'll have all these think tanks and these groups and these NGOs doing their bidding and implementing with the processes through the planning and zoning departments of all the local areas to get in all the regulations from the United Nations. Okay, so you got Walter Isaacson, the head of the Aspen Institute, which the Aspen Institute is one of the biggest pushers of sustainable development. That's, you know, another word for Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 that you see a lot now. That, you know, they help push that heavily worldwide, right? So you got a New Orleans native, Walter Isaacson, coming in. He's appointed to dole out all the money and set the actual master plan for Louisiana and the Gulf Coast. So what he did was he teamed up with the Rockefeller Foundation. He also sits on the board of the Rockefeller Foundation. He teamed up with the Rockefeller Foundation to set the master plan for the area. So when you hear the terms like master plan, that's also Agenda 21 or Agenda 2030. That's also stemming from the United Nations. So they'll use the planning and zoning departments to get this done, right? So you have all the planners nationwide. They all belong to the American Planning Association, right? And that's also a United Nations non-governmental organization, right? So it's basically an arm of the UN. So every one of them belong to this American Planning Association. And that's why you see like a unilateral, you know, these unilateral designs nationwide of these cities, because all of these planners that are in these cities, you know, they all belong to the same groups and the same organization. This is why you see the same type of architecture, the same type of buildings, right? So they'll use this, these planners, to help set the code and the regulations for each local area. And that's how they get the global government on a local scale. It's through the regulations in the planning departments. So you got Walter Isaacson in Louisiana setting the master plan along with the Rockefeller Foundation. So they're getting hundreds of billions of dollars to help dole out. So what they do is one of the major entities that they, you know, give the money to is HUD, Housing and Urban Development. HUD is the urban arm of the United Nations. That states it right on their website. So they'll take, you know, certain housing developments. They'll knock them down. They won't redo them. And they'll build brand new housing developments. And then they help, you know, so they'll steer large groups of people into these new developments. And then they'll steer them all across the area using various grants using various tax breaks. So they'll spread out. They use it to also steer, you know, the population after the storms as well. So you might have you might have a greater metropolitan area, like a downtown area, that they want to move certain people from that area. So then they'll start going to the outer line areas, and they'll give lots of tax breaks to build these multi-use developments, to where you'll have families paying rent of $1,500-$1,600 a month on one part of the building, and on the other part of the building, it's all Section 8. So that's another way that they're able to, kind of disperse the population as well. And by them doing that, they're able to fluctuate the housing market as well, too. Okay, because after the storm, the housing prices in a lot of areas to these damaged homes, they'll plummet. Right. They'll plummet. So then you'll have these, a lot of these corporations like these big money houses like BlackRock come in and finance large buyouts of just whole areas. So it's able to manipulate the real estate market. Then they'll take those people from the areas and distribute them, you know, to more of the suburbs. So they've just been steering. They'll use that to steer the population, and they'll also use it to bring in all the United Nations codes and enforcement, because when you take that money into these local areas, you're getting all the tentacles from the United Nations as well. And that's how they're able to get global government on a local scale. It's very complicated, but I watched it kind of unfold with my own eyes.
Fair enough, Gary. You want Raphael to join?
Yeah, she is the number one climate researcher in the world. I'm going to tell you, she's the one that discovered how they steer the storms with Doppler radar. Yeah, bring her on. She's just top notch.
How you doing, y'all?
Go ahead.
Good day. Yeah. Hi, Nathan. Hi, Gary. Y'all are always on the money. You have been before the storm was upon us, pun intended, and you're still on it. And let me just tell you that in 2017, I've been researching, thanks to you and your support, Gary, climate engineering, weather modification. I actually was able to have a platform to share my research with people through our podcast, which at first was called Beyond the Veil, and it led to my work of World of Hot Water, when in 2017, after getting all these other pieces to the puzzle, never mind that we have a rich history of weather modification that is not even hiding in our midst. It's just not publicized. It's not hidden. It's just not publicized. And when we say weather modification, we gotta say that there are multiple levels to this. There are benign government projects that you will hear about. Those are benign. Those are efforts to try and make the most out of a crappy situation. But then we have weather modification projects that are not on the books. Okay, we have the NOAA that is not reporting certain weather modification projects or any to the World Meteorological Organization. For instance, in 2013, they didn't report any weather modification in the states. However, in the same report, you have an admission that some players have been engaged in weather modification for 50 years nonstop, such as the hydroelectric companies. Now, let's talk about climate. Let's talk about climate change, okay? Climate change. Now, there is a basic underlying scientific fact, actually, that most people are completely ignorant of, even though it is the most fundamental and basic of scientific fact. And that is, okay, the most prominent greenhouse gas on Earth is not, well, if I asked you what it was, most people would say cow fart, actually, because they don't even know what it's called. Most people are not scientific at all. They would say cow farts, like methane, or is it CO2? You know, what is it? Like, no, it's not CO2. It is not methane. NASA says that even small changes in the location or abundance of clouds could change the climate, not the weather, which is local, but the climate, which is global, more than the anticipated changes brought about by other greenhouse gases, human-produced aerosols, or other factors associated with global change. And that's NASA and their importance of understanding clouds. However, we've had like these years of, oh, chemtrails, contrails, you know, you can't prove it. And now global warming is so bad, we need to, it's justified in the form of geoengineering. According to the scientific literature, it is now an issue of national security, right? You saw, I heard Biden say that, you know, climate change is a national security issue. They've been working on that. They've had gag orders on meteorologists. Most meteorologists haven't noticed this, though. But in 2017, while I was researching all the narratives out there on the climate engineering, I broke past the gatekeeping and some of the lies even within the chemtrail community. And I found out that water vapor is the most prominent greenhouse gas that affects weather, short of the sun's effect on climate, which it has an effect because it moves clouds around. But water vapor is the most significant thing we can do to climate. But why do we ignore this? How do they get away with ignoring this in the scientific community, even though climate change is the big debate? How come nobody realizes this? How do they dismiss it? Do they deny it? No, they don't. They just say there is no anthropogenic effect. There is no man-made cause to these water vapor changes, and so we don't worry about it. We're just going to ignore it. And yet this narrative ignores the fact that the Air Force has already admitted on video that they don't need HARP to manage the ionosphere anymore. They've moved on to other ways of managing the ionosphere. Why are they managing the ionosphere? But they are. You know, I'm not the one that said it. The Air Force guy said it. Take it up with him. And not only that, but we discovered that the Doppler radars, which are supposed to be reading the storms, are what has been steering our hurricanes directly. And let me tell you, these Doppler radars, they could stop a storm, but they don't. And Katrina, I can tell you what happens and more with this whole Agenda 21, if you want to go in that direction. But that was just a moment to talk about that. I found the Army captain that was ordered to bring as many body bags to New Orleans. And I got his testimony on record. Anybody can hear it. A year before he was murdered, and he said he brought 5,226 body bags to New Orleans 8 days before Katrina made landfall, even though he was ordered 11 days before. I didn't know 4 days before Katrina made landfall there was a hurricane out there with our name on it. And I went through that, and I can tell you what they do. Well, they don't send any help, and they stop other people from coming in to help, and then they lay out the agenda just like you said. And it's not just going on in places they hit with storms. I have a lovely lady, who gave me a great interview about how they're doing it up in Vermont in the farms. They stop funding the hospitals and the schools, and people are moving out of the rural areas into the urban areas. This is an absolute steering. It's absolutely deliberate. And with what I've learned they can do, and I've predicted the landfall to a T, having learned, and unfortunately this last storm in Florida, I was moving at the time and I did not get to capture the radar, so I'm not sure what happened yet, but I will be investigating that. But that is where liability is at, because in chemtrails there's no liability, and you know, these guys, that they don't care, they're going to keep rolling out whatever they can, and if they have an advantage technologically wise, they are going to apply it. This is a war, and it's been planned for a while, and we can totally lick this if we see it coming, if we stand solid, if we hold our ground, if we don't cave into the propaganda designed to shape us, move us, shift us, make us devalue our the very things that secure our liberty. So where do you want to take it from here? I'll just take a break and breathe and see where we want to go here.
Well, Raphael, I want to ask you several questions, I think some of which you've answered, to wit. You believe Katrina and Ian, for example, were both manipulated, man-made, to create a disaster for multiple purposes, in my opinion, in Florida, to punish DeSantis for embarrassing the Democrats by sending these migrants to Martha's Vineyard, to wipe out a very strong enclave of conservative and Trump voters so that they're going to have a great deal of difficulty even participating in the midterms, to make Florida highly dependent on government largesse so that they feel more kindly toward a government that's funding the reconstruction, and to claim that this is a manifestation of global warming when global warming is actually a fantasy, a myth. I want to know if you agree with all of those propositions.
Well, actually, microwave technology have a warming effect. And so if we're proliferating the landscape with microwave technology, we are cooking everything in that landscape slowly but surely. So as my, you know, friend with cancer in his jaw is finding out that putting that phone all up to his face all those years didn't do him any good. Radiation is radiation. It doesn't change just because you whitewash the science for the public. And so that's, you know, where 5G comes into. I believe there's evidence out there showing that it can also micromanage. But even short of that, yes, what else did they do that we see happen with hurricanes? And I don't believe that they're using these technologies around. I've actually triangulated on it, and I have the evidence. I'm the only one with the evidence that triangulates on who is steering the weather, when they could be stopping it, whether they're bringing it right into Doppler radar. They brought it into 5 Doppler radars in a row for Katrina, and I have year after year that I've documented in my series, and I'm working on a thesis right now to get it in writing. But I do know that. What did they do? They made people who were living in those refabbed homes that were repurposed after the other storms they had to get their vaccines to go home. They tried that stuff on people, even though it's unconstitutional. So then you have like this grid that is just like tightening down on everybody afterwards, when they funnel you into this housing and they start to, they have layers of, hurting people, you know, and then it, ultimately it's going to go into a social credit score. And what did they do here? Right when they made the vaccine mandatory in the city, it was a test city. This is a test city. And our mayor, Mayor Mark Morial, is an Aspen Institute graduate. I learned that from Nathan a few years ago. And sure enough, she has shown her loyalty to globalists, not to the people that have supposedly elected her, if we did elect her, because we don't have free elections. And what happened right when people were going to organize to fight it, right before they do it, they bring Ida in. Ida took our roof out. Ida made a lot of people homeless. Ida made a landscape of very slim housing because there was no construction during COVID. And then the money handlers that control the globalists made the investment in such a way that all the money and profit was in real estate. So people that usually invest in the stock market moved their money to the real estate market. And we have BlackRock and all that. And there was a lot less housing available. I just got done being homeless for 6 months because I wouldn't live in a house with mold. And there was a few things, and my credit score was being used against me, and I had to work on that. So this is very, very real. There's not a lot of ways they can change America because their values are so deep, but through silent warfare, they can beat us down and get us to do one false flag after another to succumb to their solutions, which we know is a Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution. Yes, so absolutely, this is deliberate, and if nothing more, they force multiply it if they can't start it from scratch. But we saw them starting hurricanes in shallow waters, and that's just not how hurricanes start. We've seen them do impossible things like move a hurricane backwards, forwards, all around. These hurricanes never did that before. It's because we're seeing the link with the electromagnetic frequencies of the Doppler radar, which they're not supposed to be pointing the beams in any direction too long, but we're catching them pointing it on for days as the damn thing is going into it. But they don't have to steer it directly. They can steer it off. They've just been very lazy, and we documented a lot of stuff and triangulated over the technology for those who want to learn more if they want to hold liability. But beyond the liability of the storm, there's not falling for these handouts, these shortcuts, these money with strings attached. Really investigate what's coming on your landscape after they clear the slate.
Gary, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, she's nailing it. What they do is the Doppler radar that they're able to steer the storm whichever way they want. And what she's saying, they can steer it in any direction. And what appeared to be with Hurricane Ian, they did like back it up like it had a stick shift on it and maneuvered into position in a place that hadn't had a hurricane in 100 years. There's just something about the west side of that peninsula.
So. Yeah, and you know, there's always more than one reason for something. So while they wanted it, they did want to hit the Trump support base and the Patriot support base, especially because I think it's bigger than Trump. It's about the body of Americans and whoever is going to end up representing that body. But there's also, there's multiple, you know, you take a cow to market for not just his milk, but for his meat, his skin, his horns, right? Whatever you can get off of him. And there's usually opportunities that avail themselves as well as, you know, throwing a punishment. But yeah, these people are going to be too busy renovating and picking up the pieces of their lives for the next year to 5 years. We have somebody staying at a friend's house here who lost his home ground zero. You know, it's just heartbreaking. You know, deja vu. We went through that. People stop caring about tyranny when they're trying to put a roof on their house, literally. You know,
Raphael,
it's a priority.
I'm a little unclear on this. You talk about 5G and all that, and I can understand that's a local phenomenon. Do you believe there's a global warming that threatens to bring about the extinction of life on Earth, or no?
Oh, I believe there are cosmic phenomena that we do not control that may be doing a reset, but that's not with what the activities we're doing. If anything could destroy the balance of life on Earth, it's messing with the electromagnetic field of the Earth, which is weakening, right? So I don't know what we're doing there, but short of like industry as we know it, that no, the problem is aerosols is a problem now. I'm not going to be an apologist for pollution. And of course, you know, the whole narrative of like, oh, we don't live in a pollution-free world. Either we're going to bring some jobs here to America and we'll monitor it some, or we're going to send it to China and they won't monitor it at all, but we'll still buy their stuff. So we got to be realistic, you know, energy independence and all that's a big thing. I don't believe that oil is a fossil fuel. It's not a fossil fuel. I don't think it's about to go extinct. But we do need to monitor ultra-fine particles, and not just in the sky, because let me tell you, your car... What happened to all that pollution that was going around? They put it in a catalytic converter, right? And then now it's like atomized, or it's really small nanoparticulate, and now it's getting in our blood-brain barriers. So we have environmental issues that we need to address. Also, nanoparticulates are too small for rain to form that can create, I know glyphosate and pesticides affect climate as well as our health. You know, polio is a pesticide disease, but we're not going to go down that rabbit hole. The whole thing, these are instruments, I say, in the globalist depopulation toolbox of control and consolidation, right? So they have climate, they have vaccines as part of that. They have narratives. They weaponize our children with a transgender thing, right? It's not about transgender rights. It's about child rights. It's about women's rights. It's about, for God's sake, don't beat women up in their own sports. I don't care what you do as a grown adult. Just leave it out of the classroom. Let kids be kids and let women be safe in their own environment. Other than that, they're just trying to divide and conquer. You know, the whole left-right paradigm has been, you know, at first I saw the enemy behind the right side. And then I saw the left do the same thing that I didn't like the right. So, and then, you know, the false flags, we have to realize that these false flags are real. This is how they shape our minds. As horrible as it is to think that people could participate in orchestrating such tremendous lies, we have to come to terms that a lot of...
Raphael, listen, clearly water vapor in the atmosphere isn't a threat to life on Earth. Water is indispensable to life. Now, CO2, likewise...
But when you in Harvey, they had so much water, it flooded the place. So it's all about... If you consolidate that water and you make it a cloud, now you've got albedo modification. Now you've got something that changes climate more than any other. So you're just managing the climate. But global warming, I mean, who knows in the checks and balances if they're warming the planet with all these clouds, trapping the heat in. But it's not like we're not seeing unprecedented levels of heat on this Earth. We're not seeing any changes that they're citing is from their Doppler radar that I've seen so far. And their HARP. I can't triangulate on HARP like I can Doppler radar.
Yeah, I'm trying to sort out the application from the more basic facts about geoengineering and the like. Do you think that CO2, the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere, makes a difference to the temperature of Earth?
No. The anthropogenic, the amount of CO2 is so marginal. Even NASA doesn't say that it affects us as much. It's just they only get counted because we affect that more than any other greenhouse gas. Well, but that doesn't make it more significant, does it? Just because we affect that more if we're ignoring a whole other industry that is not even on the table.
The research and the research and the reports I've done with Joe Olson, who's an engineer qualified across the board, suggests that actually CO2 cools the Earth in multiple ways, and of course it's indispensable to life and the production of oxygen through photosynthesis.
Yeah, yes. You see, the CO2 narrative, if you look at Bill Gates, he breaks it down. He says, to lower CO2, which they say is the problem, here's the equation. People times services times, you know, amount of services, right, or something like that. He says, and now to get the number of CO2 down, one of these numbers is going to have to go to zero. Well, they say TV is good, all these services are good, and these appliances are good, but maybe one of these numbers implying that people is going to have to go down to zero. You see, the CO2 narrative is not about climate. It's about population control because we're CO2 creatures. Yes, absolutely. More CO2 creates more life on Earth. Life helps with cooling and the water vapor and just the whole system does better when there's
You've certainly you and Gary and Nathan have certainly raised a wide range of issues. I've actually killed the break. I want to invite callers 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Nathan, I take it, Gary, has had to return to the tugboat, whatever. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not Gary? Sure if he's going
to. Nathan, are you still here? Would you like to add further thoughts, Nathan? Nathan, are you here? No.
He might have.
Yeah, he must not be there.
Okay, Gary, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
This interview was inspired by Paul's very positive reaction when you were talking to how FEMA came to New Orleans after Katrina, and they were basically arranging to loot. I mean, that's another aspect of what's going on in Florida. You got all these retired people who invested all they had into, say, a trailer. It's all paid for. Mm-hmm. They can, you know, afford the rent on the land. But now they've been wiped out. And I expect rich developers are going to come and buy up all those land, put up massive condos and make billions at the expense of the retired people who thought they had a life in Florida, but now they're out on their own. Gary.
Yes. In New Orleans, they called it the Big Easy for a while. But after Hurricane Katrina, it's no longer the Big Easy. Yeah. They have rent is sky high, you know. So, you know, rent is sky high. Everything has gone up. Our insurance alone this year, the property tax went up $2,500 and the insurance went up $3,800 in 1 year. You know, so they're doing what they can to get you out of New Orleans. And that's not just weather. That's actually reporting that there's a murder on every square inch of the city almost on a daily basis. You know, so they're really doing everything
I would like to talk about that.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm the one that challenged my city. I went up to city council in 2018 and 19, the year before COVID, and I said, what are you about to unleash on the human population with 5G? I lived by cell tower, and it was for five years, and it was killing me after three. Can you show me a single study proving that 5G is safe for humanity? And they promised me a health panel out of this because they said, you know, I thought maybe they were being genuine. They wanted to see if there was, and we sent them everything. We couldn't afford to fly in our expert professors that were EMF experts and scientists and doctors because they couldn't take breaks from, but they were willing to call in on our behalf. They wouldn't take the call-ins at the city hall. Yet, and they always were canceling the meetings. And this is what is interesting. The head of the Smart and Sustainable meeting was a man named Jason Williams. He's the one who granted the phony health panel, where when we didn't even know when the meeting would be because they kept canceling at the last minute, the industry professionals that they sent in to say, oh, radiation is great, were always able to be there. And the same guy, Jason Williams, that approved what ended up being the spine, the backbone of the 5G network, which would be the Internet of Things, which would be the social credit score, which would be, he was before that the best public defender there was in New Orleans. Not just one public defender, the best. So that means criminals had a great chance of getting off, sometimes innocent folks too. But then he goes to being to creating the backbone for the infrastructure for the crime cameras and the social credit scores and the Internet of Things, and then he becomes the public the prosecutor, New Orleans prosecutor. He goes from being the best defender to the prosecutor, and we experience the worst crime under his watch. And then he comes and he says, we need facial recognition. See how it is? It's like if the globalists only have like a few chess pieces, he's a very valuable player, MVP, right there. He goes all across the board advancing their narrative. He creates the problem, creates demands, and then is the reaction and the solution. This is exactly how they work. They have a few key cities, and then the rest follow. And then also with government money. When there's government money involved, forget about getting the ear of your city council. Unless you put those people in place as a revolution to the people that are already, and you know, as a countering of the people that are already there, they will take government money. They will sell out your kids. They will force vaccinate them. They will do anything for that government money, and they will not listen to you. Your only chance is if there's no government money involved. And if there is government money involved, you better have a lot of people backing you up. Because that's where we're going. If you're, you know, if you like China, do nothing.
Gary, your further thoughts?
Yeah, yes, sir. I mean, she's pretty much calling it out like it is. It's really not just hurricanes. They're using weather warfare, and in California, they're just burning everything up. If you're in the way of a development, they just burn the house down, and it's pretty much the same thing. A lot of times, they make you go to an area where it's okay to camp, but then after a while they tell you there's 30 days left and there's a week left, then they just clear you out whether you have a home or not, you know. So I mean,
right,
weather warfare is a
problem anymore. Right, you know, we watch, you know, them. So this is not just hurricanes. He's right. We watch them, and remember the fires in Australia before COVID. We watch. This is the major. Yes. Like China could not access the minerals underneath the animal preservations, right? There's a lot of land, a lot of rights they couldn't access until the animals were cleared off and parts of it. But what did they do? We watched them keep the rains off while they burned Australia. We watched a cloud, the shape of Australia, in the opposite, like negative space of Australia, while they pushed the clouds away. There were all these rain clouds. They wanted a rain on Australia's fires, but none of them were allowed on land. And we were documenting this, and there was a lady we educated in Australia who was capturing the electromagnetic stuff. But the best triangulation that we have is the hurricane. That's why, and I'm very sorry I dropped the ball on this because of my personal situation. I was dealing with a move, and I wasn't set up to capture. But the best is to capture the Doppler radar live in action. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're pulling it straight into the radar, but there's things that they do that triangulate.
Are you familiar with the work of Dane Wigginton, geoengineering and all that?
Yes, unfortunately, he has gatekept my work, and he has tried to reduce the significance of the Doppler truth. The first time, an example of this, first of all, he says that there's no power plants can't make weather, and even though there's patents and we've captured it, he's denied the work of other people that captures what power plants dumping massive water. He used to work for the power plant. But he does educate a lot of people, reach a lot of people. But then when everybody was saying, trying to get him to say Doppler radar steers the storms, at one point he showed my work. He's the only one that showed my work, but he didn't say my name, and he got it wrong. He said a microwave facility tower on Eglin Air Force Base is steering the storm. And it's like, well, that sounds very exotic, but it's actually Doppler radar. And so it was kind of deceiving. That was all he did. He didn't show the triangulation. He knows. And look,
See, Raphael is the one that discovered the way they steer the storms. All right. She's got video after video. I've watched them myself.
Alex
She's
Jones
the one that showed
December,
the world how to do it.
I had an event called bringing, you know, I forget what it was called. It was an event to save Louisiana, basically, during the COVID, where we had lawyers. And Stu Peters was involved in that, and they pushed us, me and another lady who had a lot of truth, to the very end. Supposedly came down from Alex Jones, and that was a month before he came out and said he's known Doppler radar steers the storm since the 90s. Okay, well then where was he during Katrina? Where was he during this whole time that I was calling out the storms? And so I went on his site, and I said he's right. I proved it, because other people were saying, you know what, as usual, all talk, no proof. And I said, I have the proof. And someone deleted my comments within 3 minutes from his website, and I documented it again. There are people that don't want the truth out, the evidence, how to prove it. But anyways, whether you prove it or not, don't fall for what comes, the agenda that comes around this thing. And you have to understand These are very deliberate assaults. Okay. And the first assault
Mitchell,
is on your mind. The second one is on your... On your
Mitchell, I don't know... I don't know about the background and all that, but can you help, you know, would you like to join the conversation and sorting these things out?
Sure, yeah, are you Jim? Talking to me, Jim?
Yeah, I'm talking to Mitchell. Mitchell.
Okay.
Yes. Well, you know, Jim, they've been working to break down government and society for a number of years. It has somewhere along the line, it has to be an inflection point where it's no longer a secret. And to cover that secret or to keep it out of the news, they literally have to run from one crisis to another as, you know, they break down the government, constitution, and society. So, yeah, I agree with you, Jim. We truly are in perilous times.
Gary. Gary, did you
I completely agree with. Yeah, I completely agree with the man. We are in perilous times, and one of the saddest parts is all this weather modification. Just people are in complete, absolute denial about that. And you can show a checkerboard the size of Dallas, and they just can't seem to get it. So it's one of the areas where people just are really having a hard, hard time. Accepting the fact that this is going on, the fact that they start fires, that they flood places out, they use drought. I mean, we're under a 26-day drought right here in Mississippi. They're already talking about the crops not being as good. So how about we use a little weather modification to get a little rain over here? But we don't get that. We only get the bad end of the stick.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And sometimes you'll get a government that'll do a local weather modification project as for relief, not knowing that they were intended to be in the target zone or whatever. But so there's different players that play with that. But really, invite people to really learn their history. Because once you understand, like, we weaponized weather back in Vietnam, and Congress didn't find out about it till the 70s. Okay. So if we ever did that, we would know about it. No. And that the guy who did it, the grandfather of weaponized weather, Alex Jones, did a great job of interviewing him. He says at one point he didn't think that we've employed all the technology, because he thinks he's naive from another generation. He doesn't understand the deep state. He thinks if our government had this technology, they would stop these storms. So obviously they haven't developed or succeeded it. But he thought it would be easy enough to control the weather of the world, because there's only 7 intersections of the currents of the jet stream. And so once you get a lock on those intersections, you're the boss. You're the boss. And we already have companies that have doing exactly what I'm seeing done. And let me tell you, to think, I did not need another conspiracy theory. I wrote a children's chemtrail book called Funny Cloud, a chemtrail tale. And I was forced to defend the audacity for having written it for children and adults, you know, that's an educational tool and an aid for activism. I dove further into the science, and that's when I realized there's a lot of hoopla kind of obfuscating, you know, the all contrails are chemtrails. Aviation pollution is horrible. That's like a big secret that everybody kind of knows about, but it's downplayed because we use the term chemtrail, and that's a conspiracy theory. But if you just focus on contrails and the contrail pollution and what's in the damn contrail, you'll find out there's a lot more to it than just water vapor. That's just blowing them blowing smoke up your wahoochie, you know? So there's a lot there. And I went back, I said, you know, I can't be making this claim and not, like, I don't want to make this claim and be the only one. I'd rather be copying someone else saying this, but I'm the one seeing this on the radar. So I went back in time. I went back in time and I started studying the hurricane lists. I started, then I'm like, you know what? They started naming the hurricanes around the time they were rolling out the radar development. I said, let me look at the tornado list, because I know they can mess with tornadoes too. I'm less able to triangulate on that, but I do know that they can't affect it. Let me see if there's something in history. And there was one hurricane in 1917 that struck my attention, because it had an unusually straight line and it was the biggest one to date. It was 3 states, and it was an unusually straight line. Ring a bell? We had one of those not too long ago. It was even bigger. And I said, well, I wonder what Nikola Tesla was doing in 1917 at that time. And I Googled Tesla in 17 and I learned, you know, the Wardenclyffe Tower was shut down. And that was on the East Coast. And I said, well, the Wardenclyffe Tower, was it shut down before or after the hurricane? And it turned out it was shut down a month and a few days after, sorry, the tornado. And it was shut down right after the tornado, a month and a few days, like somebody was sweeping their tracks in the sand, you know? And I'm like, this thing was supposedly unused for 10 years. It sat idle, a failure of Tesla's ability to get more funding to develop his vision for the world, to have wireless, not just communication, but power. It means a transfer of power through. And in that, he had discovered he was able to make fog so thick in his Colorado Springs lab in 1899. He couldn't even see his hand. So he knew, he figured it out, that it was just a matter of tickling the different electromagnetic, you know, differences, checks and balances in the sky to get the sky to move and to discharge, or, and it'll be nothing to irrigate arid deserts in the future. And this is what we're doing now with terraforming. We're doing this and we're doing it with great success. And so, those that are, you know, in the matter, we're not seeing it on the evening news, but I looked at that tornado and I mapped it, and you know what? It was pointing exactly, because I mapped the Wardenclyffe Tower, it was pointing to the Wardenclyffe Tower. So I found the Wardenclyffe Tower because I said, what's Tesla doing in the year of this tornado? And the tornado happened to be pointing to the tower. Like it was ripped in from that direction, like some energy was pulling the energy through it and into the radar. And that's what happened. So my theory led to me discovering a thing from history that led to the biggest guy. And who was the person who processed the entirety of Nikola Tesla's life at his death? A Trump's favorite uncle, right? The Trump, now I'm forgetting his name because I'm on the spot. So the secrets have been in the family, and he got all the non-weaponized microwave beam technology. And while the military got the radar patents, and actually John G. Trump, that is his name, Trump's favorite uncle, got to work with the military in Europe on radar. And I'm not even done with the work even the Dust Bowl, that those were high altitude winds in a straight directional line that kicked up all that loose dirt. And that the Dust Bowl actually overlapped the years of Russian radar experimentation. So I'm not sure that weather wars just started, but they're definitely getting perfected. They're being fine-tuned. And every event that happens is an excuse to further solidify the grid. It's kind of like the chicken or the egg. More weather, more bad weather, more technology to watch the weather, more technology to watch the weather, more bad weather. And it'll keep going on and on like that. So it's a lot. And it's all captured in my World of Hot Water documentary series and movie. And my NOLA Butterfly 2 channel is up. You'll have to, good luck finding it on YouTube. That's where I put all my stuff. My non-weather stuff is on Rumble because I had everything taken down for my vaccine research. But this is the truth, and I'm rolling out the thesis, and I'm going to be promoting the hell out of it when I'm done, because this needs to get in the hands of the at least the mainstream alternative.
We have a caller, Brian from Missouri. Brian, join the conversation.
Yeah, when you talk about Tesla and his technology, it brings to mind Charles Lindbergh, because the Spirit of St. Louis, his aircraft had a little Tesla motor in it. There used to be an article on Rants years ago, you can't find it now, where his mechanic built it on the bench of his garage, and they had a picture of it. And that explains why he could fly that airplane 4,100 miles. It's 4,100 miles from New York to Paris. And in World War II, we had a P-51 Mustang airplane that we used to rave about its range. Well, without drop tanks, it could only go 750 miles, with them 1,350 miles. So they were trying to cover up that fact, and they said, look, if you do this flight, we're gonna take action, and that's why they kidnapped his kid and killed him. That was the dark cabal getting even with Lindbergh, and that's why, you know, Lindbergh was really buddy-buddy with the Nazis at the beginning of World War II, because he knew who was behind it, and he knew what Hitler thought of it. So, anyway, that's all I had to say.
Wow, and I thought I had heard all of the little quirky... Well, I knew I didn't hear it all with Tesla, because the further in you go with Tesla, Nikola, the more there is to discover. And I know that there were a few years that it was AWOL, where he had a propeller. He worked on engines, you know, airplane engines, and there's a lot of mystery around that. So that's a very interesting piece of the puzzle. I thank you for that. I'm going to dive into that when I get back into my Tesla research.
Yeah, actually, Jim and I on our show had a video about the jet fuel hoax and the idea that they could fly as far as they can on just that. You know, there's really no place for the fuel tanks at all. All right, so there's technology available, and when it comes to the jet planes, you know, that's exactly easy to see. There's just no room for the amount of fuel that they say is in the plane.
Yeah, I guess I'll stay out of that conversation because I don't know enough, but I hear you. Yeah, I don't know.
Brian,
I'm sorry. That reminds me of the whole argument on 9/11, how jet fuel caused those towers to collapse. You know, they used to use that jet fuel, which is so ludicrous, because the German World War II Messerschmitt 262 fighter was a steel engine. Okay, they didn't have the high-tech resources to make titanium and all that. So they were steel, and you had a steel engine that was, pushing jet fuel through it, ignited. If that was true for 9/11, those German engines would have melted in mid-flight. So it just, when you know these kind of things, it just drives you nuts that they could tell us things so stupid and people can believe it. So anyway.
Brian, I'm glad you called in. I'm glad you called in. Mitchell, did you have any further thoughts?
No, Jim, the only thing I would say is that the technology that we think we have today is beyond the curve of what the current research technology and applications are. We're 25 years behind whatever they're actually doing. So you have to think almost like science fiction.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and I heard there's about, it could be even 30 or 40 years behind in some cases. So, yeah, mm-hmm. 25.
Can I make another?
Please, Brian, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Another thing is Tesla's car. He had a car. I used to think it was a Accord, but the name of it was some weird manufacturer. And he had an electric motor in that car, and he had his Tesla technology that was propelling it. And he'd get it up to 90 miles an hour. He drove it for weeks on end without, he didn't have to fuel it. The way I think it worked, if I remember right, was the radio antenna he used to bring static electricity through the antenna and power his coil. And it used to be on the internet, but I'm sure that's something that's been removed too, along with everything else. So that's just what I wanted to say.
Yeah, I'm completely familiar with that. A long wire 100 feet off the ground, there's a difference of potential. Therefore, there's a voltage there, and it can be manipulated. And I go way back to these old castles that are so magnificent. They had to have some way of providing light in there besides a big candlestick wagon. And I believe there's just no doubt about that there's a voltage potential. The higher you go to ground, and it can be utilized. And in fact, I believe that some of the bigger buildings actually do use that technology, even though we don't know it.
Well, you know that Tesla said, you know, no free energy device will ever be allowed to reach the market. And we see that. So, you know, we could talk about whether this or that's better but it's all under control. We know there's technology. We know there's been technology. We know we were a global civilization. When you look at the monolithic structures that we can't even explain. Look, in New Orleans, we had a guy dangling from the disaster that's called the Hard Rock Hotel disaster. I don't know if you heard about it, but there was some sort of implosion or something, a partial building collapse. Several people died, and one guy was dangling for like months outside while his body would be like sometimes uncovered, and his family didn't get rest for a while. I think they finally laid him to rest. But we went from the pyramids, and not just the pyramids, they're all over the world. We had technology at one point in time. There's a story there, and it's fascinating, I'm sure. But, you know, we're here now, and the technology has surpassed us. And this is not a theory. This is the reality. This is what we have proven beyond a reasonable doubt.
Gary, we're about to...
Go
ahead, Gary. I'd like you to kind of tie together your final thoughts.
Okay. It all goes back to this thing called Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. They have plans for us. They want us moved out of certain areas where humans can't go. And when they stir a hurricane in, they've got everything in order. Now, in fact, when Haiti and Puerto Rico was wiped out by a weather weapon, they already had divvied up what was going to happen, like who was going to get the hotels, who was going to get the farmland, who was going to get the mineral rights. All of those things, the mining right, that's all predetermined for an area if and when a area is wiped out by a disaster. And that, they say a natural disaster, but there's nothing about it not that natural. And, you know, and the Clintons, they're involved in a lot of that. They're right there on the list, all global corporations. And you can forget about having a mom and pop anything there. You're going to have high rises. Casino in Mississippi, they just came in with casinos after all the houses were gone. And, you know, you got to pay big money to go there now. It's a tourist area. And that's really what it's all about. So that a hurricane is just one in many, many ways that they're getting you out of your single family unit and into a multiplex. In fact, I have, you know, I can show you pictures of Agenda 21 houses. They're very small. They're very colorful. They're four families to one. There's a big yard, but nobody gets a yard, you know. And then they cut out half of the highways to put in bicycle paths where it discourages you from having a car. And then they put you on bus paths and bicycle paths. And they really want you to get on the bike and walk or ride the bus. And it's many, many, many ways. If I have 1 second, I'll give you a quick example. And during Katrina, every house that was wiped out, if the person next door to you did not come back, you had the right to buy that property because you had the first chance at it because it was next to yours. Okay,
Gary.
I know at least in, yeah.
I was just going to thank you and Raphael and Nathan for joining us today and Brian for calling in. Thanks so much for covering such a broad swath of territory and brief compass. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great pleasure.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence